I'm Jess Spenlove, a performance dietitian, coach, and speaker, and welcome to Stay at the Top, the podcast for ambitious high performers wanting to easily go from exhausted to energized with evidence-based hacks designed to deliver sustained success and enhanced longevity. I want you to harness the power of nutrition, sleep, mindset, and other high-performing behaviors to achieve your big goals now, while also considering future you as well. Now, let's get into today's episode. Team, welcome to the very first episode of Stay at the Top. Today, I wanted to start where this journey has really all begun for me, which is in the world of performance nutrition. Now, I fundamentally believe that nutrition is really one of the most underrated strategies when it comes to elevating human potential. And that can be whether it's on the sporting field, in the boardroom, or any aspect of life. You know, the reality is we all eat. It is a non-negotiable behavior that we all have to do. But I've only really seen a few high-performing individuals nail it and really leverage the power that it can bring to their lives. For some reason, we've really gotten it all wrong. So often we focus on what we need to remove, what we need to restrict, or looking at how food can really just make us look. However, what I want to teach you is a new way of thinking. I really want to help you tune into how you respond to nutrition and how you can truly leverage it to unlock a new level of performance potential for yourself, whether that's on the sporting field, in the boardroom, or overall in life. Now, before we get into today's episode, I wanted to quickly mention the high performance profile quiz that I have put together. This is designed to help motivated, driven, and ambitious high performing individuals like yourselves pinpoint your unique profile and give you your tailored next step based on where you're starting from. So do give it a go. You can find the link in the show notes. Now, before we get started, I wanted to share a thought for the week, which is one of my core philosophies. This is that there is no perfect diet for performance and well-being, but there are perfect principles. I really believe my role is an educator, and it's to help give people the tools so they can excel. What my role does not entail is pushing a certain way of eating or a certain way of being onto anyone. What you won't find here is a one-size-fits-all approach. I don't subscribe to that. What I do subscribe to is giving you tactical and practical evidence-based strategies that you can apply to your life. You see, this is really where most people get it wrong. They try to apply what has worked for someone else to their life. But what that strategy hasn't considered is where they're starting from, what their goals are, what they like and what they dislike, and so much more. The magic is really in applying principles to your life. That's when we find the path of least resistance and it starts to feel easy. That's another thing I want to teach you. What you've been told, it doesn't have to be punishment and suffer and restriction. It actually gets to be easier than what you think. But it's about playing the long game, which is what we're here for. So what I ask for each of you today is that you try and silence what you think you know about food and nutrition, and you open your mind to a new way. This is about you tweaking what you're currently doing, but what I want to promise you is that these small little adjustments are what truly deliver huge impact, lasting results, true behavior change, and that's when you really start to feel and live the benefits of compounding well-being and performance. Now, let's get into today's episode. Today, I wanted to deep dive into five of my core performance nutrition principles that I believe are universal for all high-performing humans and that you can start to leverage. The reason I am so pro principles over prescription is because it allows each individual to tailor it to their life and their routine. This is key to critical long-term success. The reality is behavior change is hard. We have a lifetime of habits and motivation, and that has gotten us to where we are today. However, true success is achieved when a new behavior is embedded with ease, or at least the least amount of friction as possible. This is when we notice a shift And over time, that new behavior just becomes our new normal. This is about getting you on autopilot. You don't have to stay motivated and committed for forever. It's about teaching and training your body and brain a new way, a better way, an easier way, a more leveraged way, which over weeks or months, you switch into autopilot and that just becomes the new you, an elevated you. Now, I'm here to tell you all that elevating how you feel, perform, and function by harnessing the power of nutrition is really so much easier than what you've previously been told. So today, when we cover off five of my core performance nutrition principles, I really hope that you can walk away with the confidence and the clarity on how you are going to apply them to your life. However, in saying that, I don't want you to feel like you have to walk away and apply five things all at the one time. That is not what I'm here for. I want you to pick the one that you feel most drawn to, the one that speaks to you the most, the one that you think you can apply with the most amount of ease and the least amount of friction. The other thing I just want to say, I'm really big on helping you find that first domino to push in the right direction to give you that momentum. And for a lot of people, that is often about looking at how you start your day or at least what happens before lunch. A lot of what is happening at the back end of the day is a byproduct of what has or hasn't happened at the front end. So let's just keep that in mind as we move through these five core principles. Now, the first one I wanted to start with is what I call all the elements. This is my way of talking about the different key components of a meal and most snacks and how you can have that autonomy to eat what you want, you know, within reason. But what I mean by that is with foods that you enjoy, foods that you're currently eating, but just to get that right jigsaw puzzle. So there's four key elements. I'm going to take you through what they are. I'm going to give you a brief rundown of, you know, which foods they are, just to make sure. I don't want to assume that we've got, you know, that knowledge. I really want to make sure that we're laying the right foundations. But most importantly, I want to talk to you about how they make you feel. That is the key here. How they make you feel and how you respond to them when you have them, or maybe when you're not quite getting that jigsaw puzzle combination right. So the four key elements are protein, carbohydrates, colors, and healthy fats. Now, the first one I want to talk to you about is protein. I believe this is the most impactful element and impactful principle that you can understand. This is one that when you change, you will feel and see a shift that day or the next day. And for that reason, it actually has its own principle, which I'll dive deeper on next. But protein, what I want you to think when you hear that is these foods sustain you and they satisfy you. Yes, these foods are really important for recovery and gaining strength and gaining muscle and all of that, which is probably how you've heard of it. You may have also heard that they're the building blocks of the body, which is entirely correct as well. Every single cell in our body, every hormone, every function, protein is that building block. But what I want you to remember, because we're here to leverage the power of nutrition, is that this element is what helps sustain you and it is what helps satisfy you. So we've got different types of protein foods. We've got our animal based. So that is, you know, anything from an animal, meat, chicken, fish, eggs, etc. We've got derivatives from an animal. So dairy, milk, yogurt, cheese. And then we've also got our plant based options, which are things like lentils, legumes, soy based products. Nuts and seeds have some protein, but for me, they're more of a healthy fat. They're a higher composition there. But yes, they do contribute. So with those foods, we want to make sure they're present at every single meal and snack. And where most people are getting this wrong is breakfast and snacks. They're either not having it, skipping it, or not having enough. And then what we typically do is have too much at lunch and dinner. So this is about redistributing that intake, having a more even intake of these protein foods across the day. Now, there are some magic numbers that we want to aim for, but I'll take you through that when I talk you through protein pulsing as a principle. Our second element is carbohydrates. Now, this group is really easy to achieve because it is so widespread. It's probably easier for me to tell you what foods are not carbohydrates than what are. Basically, every single food and food group is a carbohydrate-based food except for things like chicken breast and meat, and also our non-starchy vegetables like lettuce and spinach, etc. Everything else is a carbohydrate-based food. I've got our whole grains, we've got our fruits, we've got our vegetables, we've got our dairy products, which are both a carbohydrate and a protein. We've got all of those types of foods. So the key thing about our carbohydrates is that they fuel the body and the brain. So again, similar to protein, you're probably aware that yes, carbohydrates fuel the body, but I think less people think about them as the preferred fuel source for our brain. The thing about our brain, it is the CEO of our body. It literally controls every single function, every single organ, every single metabolic system. So if our brain is getting what it wants, it is sending out communication everywhere and everything is functioning and flowing a lot better. If our brain is being underfueled, missed fueled or irregularly fueled, well, that is going to disrupt potentially every single function. So that is something I want you to bear in mind when we start to look at your dietary pattern, how you eat, whether that is the what, the why, or the how. And I want you to think about how you can start to apply that. We've got our third element then, colors. So when we think of colors, I want you to think of vitality and nourishment. Colors are super simple. I'm talking fruits and vegetables here. Anything that has an abundance of color. Now, it's a lot easier for me to say we want to have some color at every single meal and snack. Or what I like to say is if a meal or snack is brown and white, it's not complete, which I think is a nice little, you know, check-in point for ourselves. But what I actually mean when I say let's eat more colors is what we want to layer in is more micronutrients, more vitamins, more minerals, more antioxidants, more bioactive compounds, more polyphenols, all of these antioxidant-rich, amazing compounds which our body thrives on. Our gut loves these types of nutrients and antioxidants. They are the favorite food of our gut microbiome. It also goes a long way in terms of helping our overall inflammatory levels in our body. These foods are very powerful antioxidant-based foods and compounds. And then when we're thinking longevity, well, eating an abundance of these foods goes a long way in sustaining that cognitive ability that we've got and preventing that cognitive decline. So the check-in, if a meal or snack is brown and white, it's not complete. And the fourth element which we want present in all meals and most snacks is our fats. And what I want you to think here is healthy fats protect, we don't neglect them. Now, healthy fats, so these are our mono and our polyunsaturated fats. So our nuts and our seeds, our extra virgin olive oil, our oily fish, our avocado, all of these amazing healthy fat-rich foods. These are so important from that overall anti-inflammatory level as well. So colors and the healthy fats, powerful anti-inflammatory powerhouses. Some of our healthy fats as well also help the absorption and the uptake of some fat-soluble vitamins, things like A, E, D, and K. So for us to actually absorb and utilize those nutrients when we eat them, we need the presence of healthy fats. And then the third point to make is healthy fats also just make our food taste delicious. Not sure about you, but have you ever tried a salad or even like just some tomato on its own versus with extra virgin olive oil, a drizzle of extra virgin olive oil on your salad or even on top of a tomato? Maybe you're having that on a cracker with some protein, which we'll cover off. My goodness, it elevates the flavor so much. So, you know, you'll quickly learn with me that my philosophy is very much around food being nutritious, delicious, and also easy. Each three of those are equal to each other. No one is more important than the other. So that's principle number one, all the elements, the four of them, we know what they are, but most importantly, we know how the body responds or what we're looking out for there. The second principle I want to dive into in more detail, as I kind of alluded to, is about protein pulsing. Now, this, I want to say it again, is the most impactful, immediate strategy that you will apply and get immediate return on investment from. Now, what I mean from that is you will feel the difference that day or the next day. It is incredibly powerful. It really is single-handedly the most impactful shift I've seen across the board, no matter if I'm thinking elite athletes, busy corporates, leaders, entrepreneurs. When they start to nail this, this is when they start to have elevated energy, more controlled appetite, better focus, more consistent intake. It is a huge needle mover. So with our protein pulsing, what I'm referring to here is spreading our protein foods out more consistently across the day. As I alluded to before, what most people are doing is too much at lunch and dinner and not enough at breakfast and snacks. In terms of what we want to look for, some guardrails are 20 to 40 grams of protein for a meal and at least a minimum of 10 grams for a snack. Now, if you're an athlete or an active corporate training, we want to look at more 20 grams for a snack. But the thing with our protein is it can be one of the harder ones to get right. And there's a few reasons for that. One, in terms of our food supply, it's not as readily diverse in our food supply as what, say, our carbohydrates are. There's more limited foods. The other side of it is the quality and the amount of protein in foods is, again, not as diverse as what our carbohydrates are. So we do really need to have that knowledge, have that awareness, and then look at the application. Another barrier is that a lot of these foods are perishable. So we either need to be in our home or have access to maybe a refrigerator. So it does require more intention, more preparation, and more strategy. Now, I don't want us to focus on the barriers. I want us to focus on the solutions. I am a very solution-focused person. And so it's really, again, looking at you, what you're eating, what you're doing, what you like, and how we can bring this into practice. I'm going to use breakfast as an example because I'm really passionate about getting that first meal of the day right for people. And one thing you can really do there to level up how you feel and perform and function every single day is to start your day with a protein-rich breakfast. So when I throw around numbers like 20 to 40 grams, I want to give you examples because I want this to be applicable to you. If we're looking at breakfast and more that 20 gram piece, we're looking at things like 3 eggs, or maybe it's 2 eggs with like 50 grams of smoked salmon. We may also be looking at a smoothie where we're using a scoop of protein powder, whether that's like a whey protein isolate, or if you're plant-based, it is more a vegan-based protein. It might also be using a combination of protein-rich options. So it might be soy milk with Greek yogurt, a cup of soy milk, 100 grams of Greek or high-protein yogurt. If we're more plant-based, it may be utilizing soy milk and soy yogurt together. So you can see here there's quite a few different ways that we can look to do that. I think it's about you thinking about what you have and what you can then add in. It's also not about you having the same thing every single day. Yes, the outcome that we want to aim for is the same. So we want to aim for around that 20 grams at breakfast each morning. But that doesn't mean if you have chosen 3 eggs, you are on 3 eggs every day for breakfast on repeat. What I want you to have is these combinations of food. So whether you're at home, in the office, on the move, feeling like something sweet, feeling like something savory, you've got the ability to swap things in, provide what you enjoy, but also get what you need. So that is really important. And once we really understand this concept, it will truly impact you. When we're thinking about short-term fast impact, while I'm all about the sustainable and the long-term, I totally get we need those green flags. We need to know that we are on the right track with what we're doing. And part of that is having elevated energy, more controlled appetite, better performance, better blood sugar levels, better focus. Protein pulsing is critical to all of that. The third principle I want to introduce to you is called adjusting intake to output. This is also referred to as periodizing nutrition intake. And ultimately what this is talking about is adjusting your meal composition and also the composition of your snacks. Now, principle number one that you learn, all the elements, still applies, which is every single meal should have all 4 elements. But when we come to this principle and we're layering in adjusting our intake to our output, it's knowing which of those elements do we adjust and which do we keep consistent. Now, the number one factor to output is generally your physical activity levels or your training. And the way I often refer to days are low or rest days, medium, which might be a single training day, or a high day, which might be a really hard single session. Or for my people out there training twice a day, it might be a double training session day. Now, regardless of the type of day, the four elements want to be present. The two that we want to keep consistent every single day are our protein and our healthy fats. Remembering protein satisfies and sustains, and healthy fats have that role of protecting us and also absorbing other essential nutrients and having those anti-inflammatory properties. So every single day, we want to have them there. We want to have them consistent. It doesn't mean the exact same options, but it just means the amounts that are the same. So you might be loving a bowl. So let's use a bowl example for lunch. One day that might be a quarter to a third of the plate salmon because you've had a poke bowl. Then maybe the next day you're bringing leftovers, which might be a stir fry or a burrito bowl. So if it's mince or lentils, we want to still make sure it's about that quarter to the third of the plate, the same as what the salmon would have been on the poke bowl day. The two elements that we want to adjust when it comes to periodizing intake are carbohydrates and colors. So if you imagine the volume of your meal staying the same each and every single day, the protein and the healthy fats staying the same every single day, the two elements we dial up and back are our carbohydrates and our colors. So on a more active day, or if we simply have higher energy requirements, that carbohydrate amount will be greater. So for example, on a medium or a high day, we might be looking at more like a third of the plate, or if we're training twice a day, half the plate. Whereas if we're not that active, or we're being mindful, or we're wanting to shift some body weight or whatever it might be keeping our carbohydrates at a quarter. That leaves the colors. Now, I don't want you to neglect the colors because they are a very important component of you feeling and performing at your best. And less than 5% of Australians are actually meeting their requirements for fruits and vegetables. So it's not an afterthought, but it's also just thinking about it in comparison to the carbohydrates and your requirements. So with that said, if we've only got a quarter of our plate coming from the carbs, the rest should be colors, which is about a third to a half of the plate based on the amount of protein that you've had. Whereas if we're dialing the carbohydrates up, the colors need to come back because we simply just can't eat more and keep growing those volumes. Now, the last point I want to make here is on something called volume eating, which is the concept about keeping the size of your meals similar each and every day. One common mistake I see people making is if they're, for some reason, just whether they want to trial a different way of eating for them, whether they think it's going to be something helpful for their energy or their performance, whether they're thinking it's going to be helpful in terms of adjusting their body composition. But something I do see a lot of people thinking and talking about is reducing their carbohydrate intake. Now, one thing I want to say here is it's okay if you want to reduce, but it doesn't mean you need to remove. That element has a key role, as I mentioned, in fueling your body and your brain. And if we're opting for the high fiber options, you know, the brown rice or the quinoa or the vegetables with our skins on it, it has really high amounts of fiber, which also help fill us up. Other than protein, it's the second most important nutrient for satiety. So by removing that, that's when we can kind of have our meal and in 30 to 60 minutes, we're already hungry. The other point I want to make here is if we are reducing our carbohydrate intake, we need to dial our colors up. If you are eating a smaller portion than what your body, your stomach and your brain are used to, then you are going to get hungrier. Your body and your brain like consistency. And that really probably is going to be a whole episode in itself one day. But what you want to do is give your body the same volume of food. It's just those compositions you want to shuffle around. Now, I've got some great resources on this, so I might make a download available in the show notes just so you can kind of see the visual here and what I'm talking about. I'm a visual learner, so sometimes seeing it helps connect the dots a little bit better. But hopefully just talking you through that really starts to layer in some of these principles which are key to you leveraging the power of nutrition. Now, the fourth principle I want to introduce is snacking for success. This is honestly one of the most underutilized and under focus and misunderstood areas of nutrition. I see a snack as the ability to add significant value, bolster your energy levels, stabilize your blood sugar levels, and enhance your cognitive output and capacity. I also see this a snack in the real world as the opportunity to unravel everything that you're working towards, spike and send your blood sugar levels spiking and crashing, and also something which can distract from your focus. So my question to you is, what outcome are you looking for? And that helps you put together the right type of snack. Now, I've created something I call the everyday snack, which helps give people guardrails on how they should snack. The first thing I want to call out here is the timing. High performers, like high performing cars, need regular fuel and top ups. So while there is a movement of intuitive eating, I believe when it comes to high performance, having guardrails and recommendations to help you train your body and your brain on how to perform at your best is key. 3 to 4 hours is about the amount of time you don't want to go any longer than without having some sort of top up. So for most people, if you're not really active in the morning, you may be able to go from breakfast to lunch, not a problem. But lunch to dinner, that tends to be 5, 6, 7 hours for a lot of people. So if you're going 5, 6, or 7 hours without giving your body nourishment, without giving your brain fuel, there is going to be a consequence. That consequence can either come in the terms of a blood sugar level drop, cravings, crash and burn in energy, bottomless pit, pre or post dinner, or all of the above. So I would love to challenge you to introduce a strategic everyday snack in the afternoon. Now, the composition of that is 3 of the key elements that I've discussed. It is protein, it is colors, it is carbohydrates or high fiber carbohydrates. And look, if you can get healthy fats in there as well and tick all 4, well, A plus to you. What that could look like could be some whole grain crackers with some avocado and some tuna. It could be some high quality Greek yogurt or high protein yogurt with some oats and some berries or some 100% natural peanut butter and some chia seeds. It might be a smoothie. It could be something like that. Now, I know you might be listening and thinking, my goodness, she's talking about so much food. This sounds like so much more food than what I'm eating. And what I will challenge you here on today is by strategically eating more of these types of foods, using these methods and principles, overall, this is going to sustain your energy, your focus, your productivity, your output. And if we're considering our weight as well, whether that's stabilizing our weight or dropping weight, then it's also going to support that as well. Because what I am educating you on is strategically eating high quality, sometimes low energy based foods, things like fruits and vegetables, very low energy, but very filling, very satisfying. So once we start being more intentional and strategic with how we're eating, a lot of the eating that might be happening when we're not even paying attention, or that snacking in the cupboard, the muffin from the cafe in the afternoon, or the dessert after dinner, that either stops or reduces altogether. And when we compare how much energy we're getting from the everyday snack, which may sound quite large, compared to those really nutrient poor, energy rich snacks, there is a huge difference. Now, I'm not here against any of those foods. I believe we all need to have those foods. But what we want is that to be coming from a place of, I feel like that, I might have that, and we have an amount and we're happy, as opposed to that coming from a place of you not nourishing your body, not nourishing your brain, not giving you what you need, and nearly like this internal demon being like, give me the things that I need and want right now. So there is a huge difference, and that is one of my hopes for today, that I can give you those strategies to create that awareness. The last point I want to touch on is what I call all the colors and all the plants. Now, all the colors is really about, as I said before, making sure each meal and snack has some color, some sort of fruit, some sort of vegetable that isn't brown or white, that is green or blue or purple or orange or yellow, because we're getting those diverse range of antioxidants, polyphenols, bioactive compounds, and micronutrients. That's what I call beginner level. That's the first checkpoint. If you're not doing that, that's where you want to start. But if you want to take that upper level, because I know there's high performers listening to this and we're looking for the very top, we're looking for that mastery level, well, that's what I call all the plants. Now, a plant is anything that is grown from the ground. So yes, fruits and vegetables are two of the six categories, but that also includes whole grains, nuts and seeds, lentils and legumes, and herbs and spices. I will definitely do a dedicated episode or a few on gut health, the microbiome, dietary factors, stress factors, all of the factors. But a really landmark study in the American Gut Project has been able to identify that individuals who consume 30 or more plants each week have greater microbiome diversity than those who have 10 or less. So this core principle is really about that vitality, that nourishment, that gut health and microbiome impact now sustainability, longevity for the long run. So as a starting point, every meal and snack, some sort of color. And when you've nailed that, that's when we want to start looking at the types of plants, how many, how we can get that diversity and layering that in. So with all of that, I want to summarize just by letting you know that honestly, the best way for you to leverage the power of nutrition is to focus on the perfect principles, not the perfect diet. It is about applying them to your life, to where you're starting from, to what you like, to what is easy, to what matches your goals. It is about choosing the path of least resistance. No more pushing, no more friction, no more restriction. We're not here for that. So for so long, I know that each of you have been told that it has to be hard and that we need to suffer. And this really is about what not to do and what to restrict. I really hope you can hear and see that the beautiful thing about the approach that I'm trying to educate you on is more about focusing on what we do need to do. And the best thing about that is it will organically take care and remove and silence a lot of the behaviors that you're trying to stop. Again, remember the brain is the CEO of our body. If we're not giving it what it needs, it's going to send out messages to get what it needs straight away. So the perfect example of that is sugar cravings. If you have that constant craving of sugar in the afternoon, pre-dinner or post-dinner, I am telling you it is because you are not nailing these principles that I have spoken to you about today. So rather than you focusing on willpower or not doing that or resisting that, let's try something new. Let's try flipping the script. Let's try applying these principles. Let's think about starting at the front of the day, as I said, that first domino, and that will just organically take care of itself. Now, I'd absolutely love to know which principle has spoken to you and which one you're going to start to optimize to get the most out of your day, whether that's in work, training, overall in life. So you can either shoot me a message on Instagram or LinkedIn, wherever you live. I'm very active on both, and I'd love to hear what has resonated with you. Thank you for joining me today for my first episode. I wanted to mention just briefly the high performance profile quiz. Now, this quiz is designed for motivated, driven, and ambitious individuals looking to pinpoint their unique profile and guide their next steps. Whether you identify as the overachiever, always striving for those 1% gains, the all or nothing human swinging from laser focused commitment to completely sidelining your goals and needing to harness the power of consistent habits, or the ticking time bomb, who is the duck on the water. Everything appears cool, calm, and collected on top, but underneath those legs are working at 1,000%. This is the ticking time bomb. This is the person poised, but under the surface, they're at risk of potential burnout. This quiz is designed to shed light on your patterns and provide actionable insights no matter which profile you are. So do give it a go. You can find the link in my show notes. And if you're keen on some personalized strategies to elevate your well-being and performance, I have personalized strategy sessions or more in-depth transformational coaching programs, which provide high-touch support, long-term behavior change, and really are a concierge health service. You can find more information in the show notes. Otherwise, I'll be back again for a new episode helping high performers not only get to the top, achieve their goals, but stay there. Team 3. Thank you for tuning in to another episode filled with actionable insights to not only help you reach the top, but to sustainably stay there. If you enjoyed it, don't forget to let people know by sharing the episode around and rating and reviewing the podcast on the platform that you listen to. Your support truly makes a difference. Until next time, keep staying at the top.